My soul says yes. Yes, Lord. Yes to your way. Yes to your will. Yes to trusting you. Yes to obeying you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My soul says yes, Lord. Well, good evening, good evening, good evening to you, you, yes, even you. You are tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. It is my pleasure to be with you on this last Monday of August. Amen. We're getting ready to enter into September, which is my birthday month. Amen. So I am excited. I am hopeful. And so if it be the Lord's will, that I shall see September 26th, I will be another year older, and I am celebrating all month long. But I'm thankful just to be here with all of you from the Six Eyes Radio Network, all the listeners. Amen. God bless each of you in your respectable places. It has been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful month dealing with the spirit of excellence, or having an excellent spirit. Amen. A lot of times we think of that excellent spirit as having the Holy Ghost or having the Holy Spirit. And although having the Holy Spirit can help us to develop an excellent spirit, but an excellent spirit must come from within one's personal drive, one's personal desire. Yesterday we read for you out of Daniel that in Daniel chapter 1, we saw that Daniel and his three friends, these four young men, purposed in their heart not to defile themselves with the king's meat or drink. And it's something about when you make a decision to stand on the principles which governs your lifestyle. As born-again believers, it is our duty, it is our obligation to stand against anything that comes against the principles, the precepts that are taught to us by the Holy Scriptures. Many times people may ask a question, what do you think about this? And if the Bible have a direct statement of yes and no concerning the question that they ask,
then it is simple. Our answer is simple. It is whatever the Bible has declared. And if God has declared it, that's it. I have no opinion on it because my opinion does not matter. Let's be clear, brothers and sisters. We do not have heaven or hell to send anyone to. And so our job is to share the information. Our job is to live the lifestyle so that they can see how to apply the information. And when they are able to do that, then the body of Christ is being made stronger because others will see that they can achieve a spirit of excellence themselves. And that's through God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So when the Bible tells us to be holy, we can be holy because I can do all things through Christ. When the Bible says be ye perfect, I can be perfect. Amen. And that word perfect is one of completeness. Amen. I'm complete because I have Jesus Christ. That's what makes me perfect. Not in my several abilities to do this, that, or the other. I am perfect because he who's in me is perfect. Amen. And because I share his nature now, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's woman too. And so we are made brand new because of the blood of Christ. And so we can have an excellent spirit. All we have to have is a great love towards God. It's amazing how they asked Jesus many questions. But one of the questions that a leader asked him was, what is the greatest of all the commandments? Not what's the greatest of all the laws. And there is a difference between the laws and the commandments. And so he said, what is the greatest of all the commandments? And he told them, hear, O Israel, you know, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and serve only him. And he answered that. And he said, and then he responded, he said, and the second is as great, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Out of the Ten Commandments, he gave two that stands above everything. And both of those hinge on these four-letter words in English, L-O-V-E, love. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. And fear is false evidence appearing real. That's acronym, fear, F, false, evidence, A, appearing, A, real, R, fear, false evidence appearing real. And that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to be afraid to stand up and say what thus says the Lord. He wants us to be afraid to be the difference in our community, to be the difference in our homes, in our families, at our church. Amen. Even there. He wants us to be afraid to just stick and stay with the Word of God. But Jesus Christ himself is our greatest example. And what I love so much is he showed us how to overcome all temptation. And I just love it because he didn't have to lift a finger to fight. He didn't have to come up with a railing accusation of trying to prove this or that. Whenever the enemy said something to him, he didn't even challenge the validity of or the legitimacy or the accuracy of what the enemy said. He simply gave him the biblical principle that said contrary to what the enemy was saying, that fortified him in his standing. I mean, you think about it. You are in the wilderness. You have been fasting for 40 days and nights. So you are in a rough place. You're in a dry place, maybe. But whatever it is, the place is difficult. On top of that, you're hungry. And the enemy came and he said to Jesus Christ, if you are the Son of God, you can say to these stones, be bread. And he came at Jesus with something that was practical, something that was natural, something that nobody would have been offended or nobody would have challenged. Yeah, Jesus, you the Son of God. You made everything. Go on and turn the stones into bread so you can eat. There ain't no sense of you being hungry, Jesus. You don't have to be hungry, even though you may be in a wilderness place. And all of that sounded good. And we know that the Bible is giving us the maybe the short version of that conversation, or just the essence of that conversation. But if I could but for a moment, let's imagine that conversation being drawn out in the process of him being hungry these 40 days. Over these 40 days, that was the temptation. Hey, Jesus, they go another stone. Hey, ain't nobody around. Ain't nobody going to know. You're hungry, man. You ain't got to keep on fasting. Man, you done came out here in search of enlightenment and truth and separate yourself from everybody so you can hear from the Father. Okay, yeah, you good, man. Go on, eat something. All that sounded good. And so we don't know the length or the depth of the conversation about, hey, man, he go another. Man, don't that rock look like a loaf of bread? I mean, we don't know how enticing that conversation became. But what we do know is Jesus was not recorded arguing with the devil. And at this time, he didn't even rebuke the devil. Now, him being Christ, he could have rebuked the devil. He could have sentenced the devil to another area. But to be our example of overcoming temptation, and this is a spirit of excellence, he's showing us how we can honor God no matter what. So he showed us an excellent spirit by just loving God to the point where his defense was simply God's word. He said to Satan, all right, I hear you. Okay, you keep telling me if I be. Well, I already know who I am, number one. So, number one, I don't have to prove to you who I am, your basis. I prove to you who I am by obeying his command. And so I know my purpose on why I am here. So I don't have to follow what you're saying, Satan. And here it comes. He said, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And Satan probably said, man, but you're going to die. Why come all this way from heaven and die? You know, ain't no telling how that conversation was going. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, some of us that like to eat would say, man, shoot, I don't need no bread alone. I need some meats and potatoes too. You know, we'd have been hungry. Give me a fish, anything, you know. But he simply went to the Word of God because he was showing to us and demonstrating to us the power within God's Word. And once he released his statement, conviction in God's Word, Satan had to move on to the next temptation. He had to move on to something else. And so when the scripture tells us to resist the devil and he'll flee, so maybe in this instance, we don't know what day that particular comment came about, but we know it happened. And so Satan went on to the next one. He said, man, listen, went on to the next temptation. And Jesus responded to him the word of God. And so we see Christ demonstrating to you and I the power of the word of God, the power in the word of God. And then afterwards, the Bible said that the angels came and ministered to him. That word ministers, they found his need and they met it. So whether he was thirsty, hungry, or whether he had blisters, or any, whatever it was, they ministered to him. And then we see him coming out of that wilderness experience. And his message was one that should be our message, and that is repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we have to do the same. Jesus' message was about repentance. His message was to all. Yes, he ministered to the lost sheep of Israel first because it was them who God chose to introduce himself to be for them to recognize and from them reach the whole world. And so it was through them. And we go all the way back to the Abrahamic covenant, where God promised Abraham, Abraham, I know you 75 years old, but if you leave your father's house and go to a place that I shall show you, I shall bless you. And because of your obedience, all the nations in the world shall be blessed. And your seed, not seeds, read that scripture correctly. He said, and your seed shall be blessed. And he was letting him know that that Jesus Christ was going to be the lineage of that seed that was going to come and bless the whole world. And so we see that in scripture. And so God has constantly throughout all the scriptures shown us how to be excellent in spirit. And so it's for us to as we study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. And as Romans tell us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you will present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, then it's not hard to live a righteous life. It's not hard. We simply must apply Matthew 6:33, which simply tells us seek first. Now, let me open that up. I want to dissect that real quick. And God bless all the listeners that's on the line today. Once again, and I'll come back and ask you about your mental in just a moment, but allow me to continue, if you would, that I may just obey the Holy Spirit as he's giving this to me. Matthew chapter 6. Amen. And verse number 33, one of the scriptures I'm often heard here on the station quoting. This statement that I'm about to read came at the end of a conversation that was dealing with how the people of the world, or which was called Gentiles, seek things. But he was trying to let us know that our Father in heaven know that we have needs. And so we're not to be weighted down. We're not to allow the burden of having or being what we need. I'm talking about food, clothing, shelter. We're not to have, these things are not to depress us and to hold us down. Those things can clog our mind. They can precedent and lead us in ways that God don't intend for us. And so Jesus was giving them an understanding that if you are a quote-unquote good father and you have the means to take care of your children and they ask for this, aren't you going to give it to them? You're not going to give your child asks for food, you're not going to give them something that's going to harm them. Your child needs clothes, you're not going to leave them naked or exposed. And so he's really showing us that our Father in heaven know that we have needs. And he would give us the Holy Spirit if we ask. That means the comforter that brings peace to our mind, that gives us what to do and how to do so that we can have those basic needs. He's saying, if we ask the Father for him, he's going to give him to us as being his children. And so, but he tells us how to go about that so that we will receive that. And that is, verse 33, he says, but. And that's the conjunction to everything that was earlier. And he had called us people of little faith then. Didn't say we didn't have no faith. He said we had little faith. So it's important for our faith to grow. And our faith grows as we simply go after the things of God. So he said, but seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the very first thing that we are to seek. To seek after wives, husbands, children, business, career, family, anything. Fame, popularity. He said, don't seek after those things first. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes we do it knowingly, And sometimes we do it unknowingly. We begin to seek things first, and we forget about who made the things, who allowed the things to be, and that is God. But he wanted us to have an understanding of the kingdom. Oftentimes, especially us that live in a democratic system, a democracy, we're not upon any monarch, and so we don't understand kingdomship, not to its fullest, unless you study it. But what God is telling us as born-again believers, that we are to first seek the kingdom. But seek ye first. First means principle. That's the principle that we're supposed to be standing on. It's not second. It's not third. It is primary. So primary obligation for us is the kingdom of God, which is called heaven. But the kingdom of God, if I can give you this definition, is God's way of doing things. Let me take two steps backwards. God is a king. He has a kingdom. Every kingdom is built on the culture and nature of that king. It is the king's desire to show his glory through his kingdom by the success of his citizen and the strength of being able to protect them from all harm. So this is the desire of every king, that his people prosper, be in health. That's why in many kingdoms, especially like the United Kingdom, everybody's under health care, because that was the king's general responsibility, is to the citizen of his kingdom. And he wanted his citizens to be well. And so everybody has a right to be well. So in the kingdom of God, God wants us to be healthy, physically and mentally. I know you said, but Brother Preacher, well, what about people born with disabilities? What about people that develop disabilities? What about people that have these things that hinder them from doing what everybody else? So a king wants to show his strength in the greatest and the least. And so if your ability number you among the least, God still want to show his strength of loving you, protecting you, caring for you, even in your insufficiencies. That's why God gives us grace. Grace is a glory of God that supersedes our issues, our faults, and make it so that we can repent and remain in the kingdom of God. So the strength of God, the glory of God, if we study the kingdom of God, we'll understand that there are multiple benefits, privileges for being a part of God's kingdom. Now, I realize it is at this point many people begin to preach a level of prosperity that pulls them away from the complete plan of God. And some people call it a prosperity gospel and get off. But let me be clear. Although people are poor, poverty itself is a mindset. God never intended for poverty to reign. But it does because of unbelief and disobedience. It is not God's intent for you to live in this world. And if anybody tell you different, ask them to give you one scripture that states that. Just one. And then I repent, and I'm going to quote that one. God's intent for us is not to be that. But should that be our current state, Apostle said, I learn. Learn is a process of understanding of whatsoever state I'm in there to be content. I learn how to abase and learn how to abound. He learned how to have and he learned how not to have. Why? Because the trial that was set in his life, he had to go through periods of where he had what he needed and where he didn't have what he needed. But it was all to show us that no matter what we need, God is sufficient. And so no matter how much people come against us and try to persecute us, we can pray and pray and pray, but God's grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient no matter what state we're in. So if I am broken in my body, that means I have either an illness, a sickness, or a disability or disadvantage, God's grace is still sufficient for me to live an abundant life. Why? Because number one, without a shadow of doubt, he loved me. He cares for me. And his love for you and his love for me differ not. And with that being our understanding, all of us can feel complete in God because we know he loves us. Just because somebody else has money don't mean God loves them more. And some of us, if we told the whole truth, it's a blessing that we didn't have too much money. Because we didn't have a plan on how to utilize the money to advance the kingdom of God in the world. And the only thing we could have done was strayed away from our dependence on God because we thought our money gave us independence. Some people are like that with their knowledge. They think their knowledge make them independent from God. Well, I just want to remind all of us that was the fall from grace from the beginning. It was the fruit from the tree of good and evil, from the knowledge of good and evil. It was that tree. It was that fruit, rather, from that tree that separated man from God. When Eve began to look at that fruit and thought, oh, wow, it's one to make a person wise. Number one, Eve was the first woman. She was already wiser than any other creature apart from Adam. They was already full of God. They was walking with God daily, declared that independency, and Adam, as he partake in her action, made him accomplisher. You know, somebody commit a crime and jump in your car and you drive them away, you're a partaker of the crime. Yeah, you didn't go in this bank and rob them, but you was a getaway driver. You're a partaker. And because Adam became a partaker of this wrongdoing, Lord said, okay, since you want to consume the fruit of good and evil, now death is released. And we all have to die now. That means our bodies wasn't even supposed to die. But someone moved from excellence to mediocrity, independence. A little dab, do you? And we've been struggling ever since. So he said, but seek first the kingdom of God and conjunction and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. What things? That's when you go back and begin to look at the scripture. You go back. What's going to be added? What you going to eat? Your life, your body. You go back and look at the text and see what the question was about. The food. All these things going to be added. So having an excellent spirit is first seeking the kingdom of God. Daniel, purpose in his heart that he was going to remain a kingdom citizen, although his kingdom had been conquered. Although his parents may have been part of the royal family, although many of the adults around them was killed as this invasion took place. Young men that had already been trained to love God. Young men who was already taught the principles of God. They was taught the Torah, the first five books. So these things was already in them. They was already in a learning mode, but yet they still purpose to follow the teachings that was taught. So parents, train up a child in the way they should go. It is our job as parents to train up. So having an excellent spirit is training our children right. You don't have children? Well, when you come across young people and you realize that you have their ear, it is your job to deposit in them what God is saying, not just what you feel. Because if you feel something that's contrary to what's written, keep it to yourself. But share the truth based on God's word. And so that is the principle there. Well, let me pause there and go to the line. Those of you that are on the line now, God bless you. Thank you for joining us this evening. My mental today is two thumbs up. I feel good. We had an eventful past week, even on this weekend. I'm asking for prayer for my youngest son. I'm not going to give his condition, but I'm thankful to the Lord that he's home and he's going to be all right. But I'm thankful even in the midst of a trying time. So both my wife and son had recently had to go to the hospital, but I believe God to recover them. Amen. I believe God to restore them. Amen. I believe God to give them life, health, and strength. Amen. And so I solicit your prayers concerning my family and myself, for that matter. I've been taxing myself over the past couple months, but I'm thankful that God has given me a mindset to keep on trusting him in spite of what I see, in spite of what happens, and not to give up. And that's why I can really minister the way I minister about trusting God. If life hasn't been always peaches and ice cream, as they say, and everything hasn't always been good, and I certainly haven't done everything right, but I thank God for his grace, his love towards me, and I'm just committed to principles of God. And I know by following his principles, my blessings come through that. And certain things don't always happen like we want them and when we want them. But it does happen at the right time. It does come in at the nick of time, as the statement would be. And so God has not failed me. Amen. I've failed him. Amen. Or I should say I felt the plan that he had for me. Amen. Because he knew me. He knew I was going to mess up for the beginning. So he had a way of escape from me. But I'm thankful that he allowed me to be in a constant state of learning and growing. And so I'm thankful that my mistakes didn't take me out of here. But I'm still here today to testify of God's goodness, his mercy, and his love. It is everlasting. Amen. And so I'm thankful. Amen. So, again, my mental itself is two thumbs up. I feel good mentally. Now, my body has stress on it, but I've been feeling pretty good here lately. I'm still healing. I'm able, many of y'all know that it's been 3 months now where I fell off the ladder, more than 14 feet in the air. I fell down to the ground and damaged my left shoulder, and me being left-handed, that's my dominant arm. I was able to use my hand, but my arm itself, I had not the strength to lift up the arm itself by itself or to do many things with it. But I've been exercising it, working it, trusting it, believing God to heal it. I can feel the healing. I can feel the different transactions in the muscles in that area. My pain levels have dropped tremendously. They stay low. For a moment there, I was staying numb. My numbness, for the most part, has pretty much almost completely gone away. I have a few moments where it's numb, but my pain unless somebody hit it or something hit it, it has stayed below level 3. And so, it's there. I can feel it. But I know that God is healing me, and I'm thankful that he is healing my body. I'm thankful that that fall didn't take me out of here. I'm thankful that Brother Charles is not doing a memorial on the program, remembering the preacher called Kenneth Bonnet. You know, so I'm thankful to be here with you all tonight. And the mics are all open. I'm complete. Anybody like to share how you feel tonight? What's your mental? Do you have any prayer requests?
Hey, Daddy.
Hey, how you doing, Sister Emily? God bless you.
Well, I'm going to be a wise guy as far as my mental goes, okay? And you know me, I got a wacky sense of humor, Dad.
That's why we love you.
I got two thumbs up and all toes.
Now you gonna make Wolfgang try to come up with something else. Now he finna go borrow his thumbs from his neighbor. So
oh, and Dad, if you don't mind, I'd like to give a little testimony tonight.
I don't. Go right ahead if you need to. I believe in testimony.
Okay.
Along with your God the glory.
Tonight, a friend of mine walked over. I was over with Sister Ruth and Missionary Ken. A friend of mine walked over there. He walked back over here with me. He's Zach. And he has cooked me dinner tonight.
Uh-oh.
And I've known this young man since, how many years has that been? How many years have you and I known each other?
About a little shit.
Watch your mouth.
Sorry.
He goes, since I was a little squirt.
So he's been on you a long time.
We were like 4 or 5, and then when I had one of my car wrecks that I was in, I ended up at the nursing home where his late mother and father were working. And I used to do stuff and get things going out there. And I was the first one at that nursing home that actually had a cell phone.
Okay.
And just to be a wise guy, one day, I saw him walk past the door, and I said, hey, buddy, I said, do me a favor. I said, can you tell the one that I yell, hey, mama, ask her if she could come over here? And he went over. He tells his mom that I needed her and everything. Then if I really wanted to agitate her, I'd do things. I used to put him up to do things too. And then his mom would be ready to whack both of us.
So your testimony is God bless you with a long-term friend, and he was kind enough to even cook you dinner tonight.
And when I got back here, found out that the one issue I was talking to Missionary Ken about before the show tonight.
Uh-huh.
Got that issue settled, turned around, told the party, I said, next time you're sick, don't take it out on me, please. Just let me know I need some me time.
Amen.
So I got that issue squared away. She should know. She should be home sometime this week, and I'm being kind enough to be up, going up, taking care of her cats, which I don't have my cats with me anymore, but I get the enjoyment of helping her with hers.
Well, that's good. I think Queen Nye and Brother Six has taken up your cat ministry. They both now done went and adopted them a cat, done posted it on the Facebook there, the website. Oh, y'all ain't posted it yet? Ah, well, they done sent me pictures. They proud of their little cat.
That man posted them yet.
Hey, Queen Nye, I got a good idea.
What's that?
Get both of y'all cats some catnip and get them wound up during the day so maybe they'll sleep at night and not drive y'all up the wall trying to sleep.
Oh, they already, well, mine does. mine acts a fool. She acting a fool now. Night. And Six said he'll be running around acting crazy at night. So, yeah, we get it. We definitely get it. Well, let me go ahead while I'm speaking. I'm two thumbs up, pinkies up, my toes are up, and my crown is sitting just as it should on my head.
All right, then. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Hey, Dr. Bonnie.
Hey, that's Sister Lila. God bless you. How you doing today? Haven't heard you in a while. You been doing okay?
My emotional status right now, I would kind of say about maybe a 6 or 7. Mostly
okay.
10. Being on the show, hearing your guys' lovely voice.
Well, it's good to hear you. Amen. Thank you.
It
Amen
is good.
That too.
But the way we understood that is that you have 6 or 7 fingers up.
Yeah. Maybe all 10, that's that much too.
Okay. All right. Good to hear you.
I would go for a 10, really, because I'm kind of happy right now.
That's good.
And,
I do got
a couple prayer requests, Pastor Vonnie.
Yes, ma'am.
If I could go ahead and get that in.
Yes, ma'am, you can. Yes, ma'am.
Please pray for me and Sister Emily and Mama Mary, which is a personal unspoken for the three of us.
Okay.
And then pray for my staff here at the facility, my friends as well, and then myself in general.
Amen.
That everything goes smoothly when I get put back in my new room, my new room that was repainted.
All right. Well, we pray all
goes well. So, and I'm giving a testimony. I have a wonderful new roommate that is my adopted mom.
Well, that's good. That is good. We pray for a good, healthy relationship out of that. We pray that both of y'all grow good and strong mentally. Definitely
yeah.
Spiritually as well.
See, Pastor Bonnie, me and her, we kind of adopted each other. I adopted her as my mom. She adopted me as her daughter. And
well, that's good.
I admit, we have our times where we get in a tussle with each other, but we get over it and stuff. So I gotta go take some meds, but I'll talk to you later, guys.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank
Bye,
you for
guys.
Being on the program. Mm-hmm. Amen. Anyone else? Like to give a, how's your mental? Do you have a praise report or a testimony or a prayer request? All right. Well, one thing we don't do, we don't try to make anyone just speak on those things.
Well, I'm doing okay, Pastor Bonnet. Two thumbs up. And I'm enjoying a few pancakes here.
Well, that's good. That's good. Pride
so I'm getting
program.
My spiritual food and my physical food. Amen.
Amen. I had my physical food just prior to programming because my son and wife was feeling the way they are. I had to cook dinner tonight, and I didn't cook it until I didn't start cooking until about after 6:30, I think it was. So, but it didn't take long to cook fish and shrimp. I did a fish and shrimp. I had what they call a vegetable medley, which is cauliflower, broccoli, and carrots. And then I had a chicken and herb rice along with that. So prepared those for them. And then I sat down and ate mine just prior to the program. Man, that got me good and full. Amen. I'm thankful that I didn't fall asleep. I'm thankful that I'm not sleeping. sometimes we eat and we get sleepy, but plenty of rest today. So I'm thankful for today. So thank you, Brother Six. Missionary Wolfgang, God bless you. Pancakes. I had that this morning. One of the
and
few
I
things
put
I
him would. Hey, Dad.
Uh huh.
I put him and Sister Ruth to work on mine.
Yeah, well, don't worry about it, sweetheart. Yours are done, and we're doing ours, and we're just having a blast. And I just got somebody to help me clean now, along with do the lawn, so I have a little more time to do my office work, which I now I can finally work on my book more. Praise God.
Amen.
Yep, so Sister M, you can come and get those pancakes anytime. They're all packaged and ready to come and get.
Man, look at that blessing. You still being blessed, I tell you. Ain't that wonderful? I tell you, your miracles are still on.
Daddy, I cannot cook pancakes for nothing.
But now, M, you better make sure, because by the time we get done with our pancakes, if I eat all them up, you better get over here before I grab on yours. So you better get over here and get them.
You mess with mine, Kenny, you in trouble.
Yeah, hey, the man gave you fair warning, you know. He's keeping greed under control, but, you know, he's letting you know. You know, you study long, you study wrong.
Hey, what it is, I can't help it when I got a pancake frenzy, I got a pancake frenzy. It's better known as the Mad Munchies.
Hey, don't you have that one thing talking about the Mad Munchies thing?
Oh, I have to do that sometime else when we're not on the show because it is kind of funny, though. But, yeah. Actually, I guess I could do it if Pastor Bonnet's got the time.
We got 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, see, now you've heard, there's people that, you know, us Christians, we never get to Mad Munchies, okay? We just get hungry. But see, there's these folks that get, they've been on, you know, that whatever they've been on, you know, snorting or drinking or whatever, and they've been up all night, and then they go to bed, and they wake up about, you know, 7, 8 in the afternoon, and their bodies realize they haven't had nothing to eat since 7 or 8 the night before. And so they up, and all of a sudden, the mad munchies, the uncontrollable hungries, the unbearable, the unbeatable, you got to eat right now hungries, jump out from behind a sofa and everything, grab them up in their face and say, you got to eat now. You never want to show anybody with the mad munchies a pile of buttons. They'll eat anything. You know, boom, buttons, wow. You know.
Mad munchies. Yeah, I'm gonna hold my comments to off the air, because we got a whole phrase for that one. So I'm gonna leave that alone. We ain't gonna put people out like that. But anyway,
Pastor Bonnet, us Christians, see, we got our own new language. We have our own language, you know. We don't gossip. Christians never gossip. You know that. We just tell truth in love. And we don't pig out, okay? No, Christians don't pig out. No, we don't pig out. If we go to the restaurant, it's called fellowship. Let's go out and fellowship, okay? And if we want to pig out at the church after service, it's called afterglow. And while we're fellowshipping or afterglowing, right, we really want to gossip, but we don't call it that. You know, we're sharing in love, and then all of a sudden, now here's what's funny. One of the women will all be sitting around the table, about 20 men, 20 women. All of a sudden, one of them women get up and says, who's got to go? Right? And all of a sudden, choo, 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 and they all leave. About 45 minutes to an hour later, they all come back, and you say, and one of those men will come up with the comment, what took you so long? And then one of them ladies will say, there was a line. Well, you took it with you. I don't know what it takes in that bathroom so long for them sisters to do, but it don't take that long for us brothers. Can you imagine one of us brothers jump up and say, who's got to go?
that's not going to be our conversation, Dad. It's not, you know. And then it's easy, somebody jump out. You mean you got to go? There it is over there. Yes, well, ain't no holding hands in. The devil is a lie. There's a need for the buddy situations, but not in the restroom. Going camping. But y'all have to pardon us. That's our little part-time conversation. Amen. But it's good. We have a conversation like this, and we let it come out because the world need to know that Christian can have good conversation too. We can laugh, we can joke, and it don't have to be dirty, it don't have to be mean, and it doesn't have to degrade other people. God intended for us to enjoy this life, and as born-again believers, we're excited about heaven, but the beauty of it is we don't have to wait to get there to enjoy it. We're enjoying heaven right here, and we encourage you that don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to invite him into your heart so that you can enjoy heaven right along with us here in this world today. Amen. You don't have to put it off tomorrow. Amen. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Choose now the Lord Jesus Christ. For tomorrow's not promised. Amen. Many have gone to sleep and did not wake up. Many have woke up to disturbing situations that have cost them their lives. And so we don't know when our last moments are. And so whenever they are, though, we know that as born-again believers, whether my last moment on this plane of existence is today, tomorrow, the next day, 20 years from now, we're ready. And so because we're ready, we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear the unknown. Amen. Because we have God with us always. Amen. And there's a promise. Our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so when the book is open, it says to all of creation, part of the royal family. So we have access. So we thank him. But that's enough of that. I'm about to get caught up in that. Amen. Want to jump right into my scripture text here. Amen. Let's see if I... I was dealing with the pursuit of excellence, dealing with how we as believers are to pattern ourselves like Christ. I spoke about, you know, Daniel. Daniel had purpose in his heart not to sin against God, and he and his three friends was able to have favor. Their favor came because they was living what they was talking about. Amen. And we reference Christ, and we see that Christ, in Matthew's, we see that Christ had was growing. He grew healthy. He was filled with wisdom. And he had wisdom, and he had God's favor on him. So he grew in that wisdom, with more wisdom, and the stature of and favor with God and people. And so he gave us to understand it's not just good to have a relationship with God only, but we are to have a relationship with people. Amen. After all, God planted us amongst people. And so we are to have those relationships with people. And so the Bible tells us to study that to show ourselves approval. So spirit of excellence is learning, developing, growing. Amen. Proverbs tells us that if we get wisdom, we need to have understanding, and don't forget it. Amen. So it tells us, Proverbs 4:7 tells us, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Spirit of excellence is learning to understand. Amen. It's not just enough for me to have information, but I must also have understanding. Because you can have information about things but don't really understand. I can have information about you having a drug addiction, but I may not understand that you are a product of being born as a crack baby or a baby that was born from a parent that was in alcohol or abuse. I don't understand the background. You know, I may understand what you're doing. I may have the information of what you're doing now, but I don't understand what came about that caused that. And so I may make prejudgments on you that don't help you, that don't support you, that don't bring you up in a higher plane of existence of your personal call on earth. Amen. And so I must get understanding. Amen. And so, because if I understand, then I can maybe help better. Amen. I may be able to encourage better. Amen. Amen. And we need to understand ourselves, too. You know, I need to understand when I'm sad, I eat too much. So I need to work on that. I need to work on disciplining myself so that I don't put harm on myself because of my emotional status. Amen, somebody. And so you think I just want to overeat, but that's the only thing that kind of settles my mind. And so, but if I understand that that's my process or how I deal with stuff, then I have to also learn other avenues so that I don't allow that particular behavior to harm me. Because all of us, let's just go ahead and tell the truth, sometimes we don't eat because we're hungry. We eat because we want to enjoy the food, like the food that I talked to y'all about that I had tonight. Now, I ain't nowhere hungry no more. But I want another piece of fish and about four more shrimps right now, not because I'm hungry, because I enjoyed it. And so this one has to tell me, okay, but you've eaten, you're full already. You have already eaten a healthy portion. You don't need no more. And so the struggle sometimes for us can be with, well, I ain't hurting nobody. Yes, I am, because I am somebody. But so we downplay ourselves, and we do things out of comfort or in the pursuit of comfort, and that is not always healthy for us. Amen. And so these are things that we must know and understand about ourselves. And it doesn't make us bad people. It doesn't mean that we don't trust God or love God. It simply means that I've begun to process things differently that's not truly beneficial. Okay? And so these are the things that we pray about and ask God to give us strength, because I can do all things through Christ. That strength doesn't mean that's continual strength. So I must learn to ask for strength so that I can overcome things, especially when I know I have underlying health conditions, be it physical health or mental health. When you know you have an underlying condition, we have to pray that God give us strength to overcome that condition. Okay? And we have to trust the plan of God that the Holy Spirit gives us in those times on overcoming. Okay? Because the Bible said we are more than conquerors through his name. So to be more than a conqueror means you must conquer it. Amen. So continuing from where I left off today in Matthew chapter 10, I said we were going back up and we're going to look at that outline. So Matthew chapter 10. Okay. Matthew chapter 10. I'm just going to read a few verses here. Chapter 10. In chapter 10, we see that this is what Jesus, verse 5, I just read it. It should be self-explanatory. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth. So go back up, we'll see that Jesus, he appointed 12 men to walk with him. He appointed 12 to help him carry the message. And he decided to train personally these particular 12 to keep with him. And so we're at verse 5. It said, these 12 Jesus sent forth and command them, saying, go not unto the way of the Gentiles and unto any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 7. And this is where we all pick up. It says, and as you go, preach. And now, so here is that pursuing the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. Jesus gives this command. He says, verse 7, he says, and as you go, so we are to go. Part of the Great Commission is go. So as you go, preach, saying, so this is what fortifies me to say to us, our message today needs to be about the kingdom of God, because Jesus said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? But not only are we to preach, verse 8 tells us, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely ye have received, freely give. And so that is the drive for us as disciples of Christ. We're to go, okay? To go, and we're to preach the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, okay? And as we're preaching this, then we are also empowered by the Holy Spirit to heal the sick. That means we're to pray for people that are sick. We're to cleanse the lepers. So sometimes you have an internal illness. Leprosy was an internal and external, because you see leprosy on the outward. It discolored the skin, but it will cause lost body parts, all that stuff, depending on how severe the leprosy was. But that was, in its day, the most deadliest disease. And he said, cleanse the deadly disease. So today for us, many of us, we're fearful of COVID, you know. And God is saying to us, we have the power to cleanse people from that, to heal people from that, raise the dead. I believe for us as that operate in this time of this dispensation of the Holy Spirit, we're to raise the dead both in the natural and in the spiritual, because many people are spiritually dead. Amen? We're to cast out devils. There's many people that are plagued. Their sickness, their illnesses of oppression, depression, bipolar, all of these can be manifestations of demonic oppressions in their lives. And God has given us the authority to speak life to them, okay? And so let's do it. And it's not us, it's God through us, okay? So never feel like you got to do this. If they don't get here, if they get here, you didn't do it. If they don't get here, you didn't do it. But what it must be seen at the end of days is that you follow his command. You lay hands on the sick. Okay? But I don't want to get sick. God didn't say you couldn't put on gloves. He didn't say you couldn't have hand sanitizer. We anoint people with oil, true enough. But you can use some hand sanitizer, put you on some latex gloves, and you can lay hands and pray for people. Stop allowing fear false evidence appearing real, keep us from obeying God. Remember when Daniel heard the decree that the king had signed the petition that no one can pray or ask of any oblation to any god or man for 30 days, but to him. When the king was tricked to doing something like that, Daniel still went home 3 times a day in his open window facing towards Jerusalem. He would still pray to God. He prayed to God openly on regular, and he refused to allow anyone to stop him from doing what he regularly done because he served God continually. We know that because that was the king's testimony. It was brought to his attention that Daniel was the one that broke the law, he said, "Your God that you serve continually will rescue you." See, people are, even though they may not be all right, they looking for us to maintain right standing. They looking towards us to be the example of holiness and righteousness. And that's why it hurts people so bad when pastors fall from grace. That's why it hurt a congregation when a pastor or an elder, a leader of the church get caught in pornography, rape or incest or any of those things, because now the people feel truly betrayed because they were dependent on, even though these are men and women, these are people who are capable of mistakes. But their dependency, their hope was that someone will maintain a standard of righteousness. And truth is, we have the Holy Ghost, people, so we can do this. I don't have to worry about if I'm going to cheat on my wife. I got the Holy Spirit. He going to keep me in the right frame of mind that I don't fall for any traps. Let me keep on going. So that was verse 8. Verse 16, I'm going to skip down real quick and read this one. Verse 16 here, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He said, "Behold, I send you forth." And so we must understand the mission for us. Believers, we must understand this. He said, "Behold," now he's talking to the 12 now. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep." Sheep are non-aggressive creatures. Okay, they're not aggressive at all. In fact, they really don't have any defending mechanism. Okay. He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep." As sheep. He ain't calling us a sheep. He said, "I'm sending you forth as a sheep in the midst of wolves." So you look like you have no defense. You look like you can't defend yourself. That's a look. But the another scripture tell us, put on the whole armor of God. Because when I got the whole armor on God, of God, that armor is already designed to defend me or to keep me safe. Amen. So he said, he sent us forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Wolves are predatory animals. Predators. So many times as believers, God is sending us looking like sheep in the midst of predators. Why? Because those predators going to get around us because they're looking at us as prey. As they get close enough to hear the word that is coming out of our mouth, if they get close enough to see the lifestyle that we're truly living, something else supposed to happen to them because of what they were now able to see because they got close. And then it says, be ye therefore wise as serpents. So we're not dumb. We should not be ignorant to Satan's devices. So therefore be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Doves are a graceful creature. Doves are another pigeon. They're just solid white. But they represent peace. So we ain't always, we represent peace. Represent thee, but we wise as serpents. In a way, in other words, we know how to move, and we know when to strike. I'm gonna leave that right there, because I must. I don't have much time, and so I must get this last part out, the end out this series. Amen. I just got barely enough time. So let's turn over to chapter 13 in Matthew's. Chapter 13. And something that we don't have a lot of time to. Matthew's chapter. Chapter 13, verse 3. Now, this story is the story of the farmer who sowed seeds, okay? So, I'm reading from the King James. And I may go back and read it in another version later. But from the King James, we see here, verse 3. I'm going to try to just read straight through and then come back. It says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell amongst thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But after fall, but others fell good ground. I saw it when it went over here. I'm going to come back and address it. Into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. So some 100-fold. Some 60-fold, some 30-fold,
And then it says, who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And my question tonight is, did you hear the four stages? Did you hear what was said? Okay. So yesterday I pointed out verse 10, and the disciples came to him and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, a principal thing. So the kingdom of heaven, earth is a colony, and the kingdom of heaven is what's to be applied in our economy, our colony, excuse me. And so it is the truth of God that we are to speak and to teach. And so the sower, God bless, the sower is you and I. You and I, brothers and sisters of Christ, we are the sowers. Remember, Jesus said, pray unto the Lord of the harvest, for the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So even and so the harvest is plentiful. Why? Because the harvest of 25% of what's sold sometimes produce 160 and a 30-fold. And even with those low numbers, there's still a great harvest. And that's why we're praying for the harvest. But that deal with the sower. We are the sowers. So let me change this to me, because I don't want nobody to think that I'm talking about them. I am a sower. I'm a sower of seed. So I'm a farmer. I am one that understands the purpose of a seed. That's what a teacher is, a preacher is. They understand the word of God is a seed. The word of God is a seed, and seeds are meant to be planted. And they're not just meant to be planted in church houses. We're going to call that a box. You know, some houses... Some houses, depending on how they're made, they have up under the window a little box up under the window, and people like to put their little herb gardens right there, some things that's going to be good, and then in the backyard, some build boxes so that certain vegetables don't mix with others. Depends on the type of what they are growing. Some things don't mix well. Some things that you plant pull more nutrients out of the soil, and so they put a frame around it so that there's a separation, especially when it comes down to harvesting. And so they try to manage the garden. Amen. And you and I, as born-again believers, we've been given the word of God, which is the seed for redemption. The word of God is our seed for redemption. But the truth is, no matter how much redemption we preach, remember the command back in chapter 10 was go preach, saying the kingdom is at hand. So no matter how much we preach, some people are still going to miss it. Group number one. Let's look at group number one. You're still with me?
Matthew chapter 13. Okay. So Matthew chapter 13, group number one, we see the Bible says here, and let's see if I can put new living. Amen. I want to follow that. All right. So it says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath. Okay? King James say a wayside, footpath, a wayside. So this is the between the borders. Amen. This is not the actual area where the soil been turned. Okay? So this is the side where we would normally just walk. So a normal walkway. So whatever your normal walk of life is, okay, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a cashier, your normal path of life, you know, whether you go to the gym, all of that, normal path, go shopping, you know, all that, your normal walkway. So your footpath, the area in where you walk. He said this farmer took and this farmer threw some seeds where they normally walk at. In other words, their everyday life, they just talked about the Lord. You know, they wasn't purposely trying to, quote, unquote, maybe get somebody saved or delivered. They were just simply scattering seeds about the joy of their Lord. They were sharing the kingdom. But because it was through the normal path and those that was on that normal path, the Bible says that and the birds came and ate them. Wow. The birds, some fowl. You ever felt fowl? You know, you heard a good word that you were feeling good, and right after you had that real good feeling, somebody came and said something stupid. And I'm gonna address it just like that because that's what you felt. This is stupid. What? It's like, you know, now we say we sanctify, we shouldn't be getting high and drunk. But if you ever lived that lifestyle before, you got high and drunk, and something came and scared the bejeebus out of you, whatever high you had, it dropped. It just went away. That's foul. Something that came and happened, you were feeling real good, and all of a sudden, you know, in a safe place, a normal place, an event happens that changes your whole mood so that the seed that was just sown had no opportunity to be rooted in you. That's somebody stealing your joy as soon as you get it. Sometimes we got people in our lives like that in our circles. You feel good today, and all of a sudden your phone rang, and they want to tell you every bad thing, every hurtful thing. Or somebody say, you know what, I'm just trying to clear my conscience today, and I just want you to know I really don't like you because you do this and that, and I just think you just need to be a better person, and now I feel complete. I talk to you later. And you're like, what the? One of Charles' words. What the? What in the? And you trying to figure out what in the world going on. Man, I just got finished listening to Pastor Bonnet on Motivation Monday, and they called me with this foolishness. Man,
and no matter how good he ministered that day, every word he said escapes you. None of it stays with you because it was shared with you on a footpath. You were just walking by. In other words, that day you wasn't intending on really studying. You were just going through the motion. And because you were just going through the motion, something happened that did not allow the seed to soak in. So when those fowls came, they devoured your seed. So you got no benefit from the word, or you got no benefit from it all. Number two, the second thing, he sold some upon stony places. He stole some on, he being the farmer now, he sold. So some of the seeds fell upon stony. That word stony deal with a rock, a hard place. Sometimes we know people who like that. No matter what you tell them, whether it's Bible or natural, challenge what you say. You could tell them the weatherman said today it's going to be 80 degrees, and they all of a sudden they go, well, which weatherman was you listening to? It doesn't matter. That's what the weather said. Well, you know, some I can't listen to all the weathermen. You know, so some of these weathermen don't know what they're talking about. You can't trust them, man. All of a sudden your mind start blinking out because you're like, man, I'm just telling you what the – why are you making a big deal about the weather? And so the seeds that will be sown then on those that have hardness can't reach them. You got to prove every little tiny detail because it's so hard. They got stony places in their heart. What I wrote about that was these stony places are where they had not much earth. See, a rock is solid, so there's no soil for the seed to go under. In other words, your hardness of your heart, the word can't go in it. It may sit upon it. You may wear the T-shirt. You may put the cross around your neck, but it never truly got into your heart, your being. So those words, because they don't have no earth, they don't develop roots. And for any plant to stand, it must establish roots. And the reason why some people are in church today and out of church tomorrow is because they have no roots in the Word of God. They don't have no roots in that local church, the plan of God, because they have not sought first the kingdom of God. So because they was exposed to the elements, the elements can be harsh, like the sun. That the seed need earth and moisture, and that sun will dry it up. And because there's no earth, if the seed is dried up before it has a time to germinate, then it never develops. It never grows. And when it do try to come up, if it try to come up, because it has no earth, the heated environment caused it to wither away. So even if it did
formulate a stem, a small hope. That small hope, because you told them that God loved you more than them. You made them feel like because they didn't pay their tithes that God didn't love them. But you didn't know that they was taught not to do that. Know that they weren't taught that was part of the relationship of God. And you didn't focus on teaching them the kingdom. And so everything that you saw them doing wrong, you kept condemning them. And so all their hope was if I'm a sinner, I might as well sin, shoot. Cause, and this is what happened. See, the soul is still sowing. The word of God is still going out. But these are the conditions that that is meeting. The third one, that the sower, and so again, the other seed fell on shallow soil with a underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon withered under the hot sun. And since they didn't have depth or deep roots, they died. That's why it's important to truly embed yourself in a ministry so you can develop, so that you can develop stability with security and someone who's there having leadership and plans to help your development so that your faith don't wither away. That's why it's important to pay attention to the preacher. And so other seeds fell amongst thorns. When it got to the thorns, now that's the third. These the other seeds, they fell among. And notice this farmer, he's farming. He's planting seed, but the seeds are more falling. And they're falling among. So you got to be careful who you falling on, depending on. You got to be careful who you falling among, who you walking with. You got to be careful. Because the different conditions can cause you loss, potential growth from a seed. So other seeds fell among thorns and they grew up and choked out the tender plant. You was excited about outreach ministry and you was excited about prayer ministry. And as soon as you started praying, somebody comes in and afterwards to say, when you were praying, you just kept saying, you know, some of the same words over and over. I'm going to need your prayer to be you got to pray a little bit different. You wait a minute. Outside the Lord's prayer, if I'm praying, honoring God, and asking God for my heart, the things that's in my heart, what's it to you? Well, you just kept saying, in Jesus' name, this, and in Jesus, you know, you ain't really got to do all of that. Wait a minute. Where is it written that I can't do all of that in prayer? I'm not just praying with vain words. Well, I'm just saying that I watch how I pray. Try to pray like, wait a minute, why I got to pray like you? Are we identical twins living identical lives? Have identical calls? And things happen because those people that keep poking you.
thorns. You know, Paul said, I have a thorn in my flesh. People that keep coming at you, challenging everything you say. Oh, I heard you say, man, and this, where's that in the Bible? Ask Google, leave me alone. You know, and they start poking at you. And if you don't learn the art of forgiveness on how to overlook people's ignorance or inconsistency or their lack of compassion, because even if you are doing something wrong, there's a right way to come to you. And so I shouldn't come at you to a point where all I'm doing is tearing you down. I'm a thorn. And this is what thorns do. And this is what thorns do. Thorns grow up. That's when we start throwing our titles out. And you young and say, you just don't understand. What? You smile too much. Wait a minute. What do you mean I smile too much? Yeah. People need to see you serious, Dr. Lord. Wait a minute. Who told you I got to have a mean mug sitting at the pulpit or around the church? Wait a minute. What you mean I can't smile? I'm happy. I can't help because you're miserable. I ain't miserable. And they start poking at you. But these are thorns. We have to be mindful that all of us face certain thorns in our lives. Amen. Ooh, my time's up. All right. He sowed some among thorns. The thorns arose. They choked them, made it harder to breathe, made it harder to enjoy the things of God. And that's why it's important for us to know who we are hanging around. And the spirit of company of people that we're hanging around. But the fourth group. Now, these only four, so 25%. Only 25% out of the whole 100%. But look at the growth mechanism on the 25%. The 25%, they grew by 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. So imagine if more of the seeds can actually be planted into. The word into, one of the things about planting is the importance of making sure that the seed get into the ground. Jesus said, by this shall men know that you are my disciple, that you will have love one to another. Not just four, that my love must get to you. It must get in you. And so that fourth group, still some fell on fertile soil. Right, that good ground is fertile soil. That soil that has the right nutrients in it. That soil has a level of moisture already in it. So when the seed goes in and the soil covers up, it protects the seed from the harshness of the sun. And that seed has time to grow and germinate and develop. And as it goes through that process, because it's able to go through that process, that seed now, as it breaks through the ground, it begins to grow. And this is what's supposed to happen to our lives as believers. We have to be growing and developing, and we are to bring forth in multitude of what's been given us. Amen. Freely have you been given. Freely have you received. Freely you give. And so that's because God has given us an abundance. So we're living in that overflow. Amen.
Amen. And we can do all of these things. I got to close with this scripture here. Excuse me, I had to turn away from the sound. My sound might have dropped a little bit. We have to be mindful of this. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So we must take our limitations off of God so that in our pursuit of him, he will remove limitations away from us. And when he removes those limitations, our seed, or the seed that was planted in us, the word of God, it produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. Well, I want to say thank you. I don't know if my time has run out. I don't want to keep anyone longer than the program was scheduled. But if you have any questions, any comments about the message on tonight, I welcome it. Thank you for listening at this time. Do you anybody have any comments or anything to say?
Yeah, Pastor Bonnet, mentioning the seeds and et cetera, something I do want to bring up, knowing quite a bit about farming myself, okay, I'm going to ask a very important question. What kind of seed do you think he was talking about being planted?
Well, in my analogy, I was giving God's seed as a word.
Yeah, I know your analogy, but I mean,
but
in
the seed
earthly
that's planted
sense,
is
what?
Christ. There's Christ. Christ is the seed.
Right, but I mean, in the earthly sense, in the earthly sense.
Oh, in a natural sense?
Yeah. What type of seed do you think he was using as his example from the earthly seed that they would have understood?
Well, he's dealing with people that was in agriculture, so he was probably talking about either wheat or barley, something that they, because he was dealing with them on a practical level, so they understood that particular type of
You just
analogy.
Answered it. You just answered it. It was wheat. And I'll explain,
yeah.
I'm going to explain why to our audience, okay? When you get ready to plant wheat, the process is you first plow the ground, then you harrow it. Then, even in the old days, what they would do is they'd take a sack of the wheat seed, and they would walk, they had to walk the ground and take their hand and scatter the seed. Unlike corn, where you, it was, the field was marked and you planted the seed in the exact spot, or potato seed or carrot seed or something where you put it in an exact spot. Wheat seed, you scattered it across the field. And then after you scattered it, then you went back over the field and harrowed the seed into the ground. So obviously, when it talks about some of the seed going on the wayside, stony ground or whatever, those were the seeds that missed the field that was harrowed and plowed and went to the sides of the field where it was not and got into the thorny ground, et cetera, et cetera, because those seeds missed the plowed area and the harrowed area. So for our listeners' sake, that's what it was talking about.
Amen.
And as you notice also, the importance was after the seed had been scattered, it had to be harrowed into the ground. So there was that last step so that, as you mentioned, it got under the ground so that it could germinate.
Amen. Amen.
Because without that last step, now here's a little story of a lazy young man that was told a long time ago. His daddy told him to go out. The field had already been harrowed and plowed. He told his son to go out and plant this wheat field. And being a lazy young man, he wanted to go out swimming. So he took the sacks of wheat that he was supposed to scatter over the field. He just went out in the center of the field and just dumped all the wheat in one big area. And then after he got done, he harrowed the field, thinking, well, nobody's going to know. Well, nobody did know except for God, the seed, and the ground. And as time went on, the weeds took that field, and right in the center, there was what wheat was right there that was growing in the center of that field amongst a bunch of weeds. But the seed knew, the ground knew, and God knew what he had done. And what his daddy found out, well, he finally knew, and, well, you know what happened then.
Yeah, something else got centered. Yes, sir.
And
yes,
so
sir.
Something else got planted.
That's right. Centered. Yeah, it was planted and centered on that behind. We like to say he got taken to the woodshed.
Yeah, so a good message there that, hey, when you plant your seed, you got to not only plant it, but make sure you harrow it, do what's right, and be sure to take care of your field, do what's right.
Amen. It's important that it gets into. And that was the primary emphasis. And we have to look at this from both sides of the coin, not only as one of us sowing, but the other as us being sowed too. When the word of God is being ministered and we hear the word of God, it is important for us to herald our hearts and minds. It's important for us to take in the word. It's important for us to consume the word. It's important for the word not to just be heard, but to be followed. And we follow the word by receiving it. And it must be meaningful to us. In countries where the Bible is not permitted, people hold pages of the Bible that give them glimmers of scripture with hope, and they treat it as value, something to be locked up and locked away so that others cannot steal it. It becomes that valuable to them. And so the word of God for us must not fall on our beaded path. It must not fall upon our stony heart. It must not fall upon our rocky heart, excuse me, and it must not fall upon our stony attitudes, but it must fall within our heart and our spirit so that we can produce fruit of a 30, 60, 100-fold. Why? Because we are planted for purpose so people can consume the fruit that we must bear. So what kind of fruit do we have? Is it good? Is it bad? Or did we allow the elements of this world to keep us from growing at all? And we have no fruit. And so I wanted to make sure that this message dealt with both sides. And so that one of the reasons why I ask for takeaways, so that I know that the word is actually being planted in your heart. And it doesn't matter if it's just a little bit of it or a lot of it. We sell that farmer out of, if he had 100 seeds, only 25 of them actually got it planted in the right part of the ground. Only a fourth of it. And so, but we still see that God was able to use that part that did get planted to produce a harvest. So, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Missionary Kim, for that outlook. That just goes to show that the Holy Spirit gave that to me in the right order, because, as you said, you having a knowledge of planting, you was able to come back and just lay that out the way you did, so that it would give our listeners, those that do farm, clarity and understanding. So thank you so very much. If there are any other comments before we depart on this evening? Amen. Well, once again, we want to say thank you to all of our listeners, close, near, far, and abroad. Thank you for tuning in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. This is a true word of faith experience. Amen. And I pray that the true word that was given today will germinate in your heart. If you'd like to donate to my ministry, you can do it through Cash App, and that is $ Pastor Bonnet. That is $ PASTORBONNETT, all lowercase. To come up, Kenneth Bonnet, true word of faith. Amen. I would thank you very much for helping us to continue great ministry as the Lord has given us to do. We know God will bless you for your seed sown, because after all, he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Amen. And we want God to continue to give us seed, so we must continue to spread it abroad so he will continue to give it. Amen. God bless you. We love you with the love of Christ. A quick prayer. Father, I thank you for all of our listeners. Thank you for each one by one, name by name. I pray, Lord God, for every unspoken request on this evening. We pray for the families, Lord God. We pray for every, Lord God, mention of the every prayer request, Lord God, one by one and name by name. And, Lord God, you know the needs of your people. You know the needs of this ministry. You know the needs of this station. And, God, we just pray, Lord God, you will continue to keep on improving in us, that we may, Lord God, be the examples you want us to be for the world. And we thank you for the platform that you have given us to reach people all over. And we thank you, Lord God, and we pray right now that your love is reaching them. And Lord God, those that may be going through some hard times, hardships, or even low moments of their life, Lord God, we pray for the encouragement of their heart. Lord God, may it be a good cheer, for you have already overcome the world. You told us in your word that all of us that are heavy laden and burdened to come to you, for your yoke is easy to take and learn of you, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. You said we can cast our cares upon you, for you care for us, and we thank you, Lord. So today, whatever our burdens is, Lord God, we now, Lord God, symbolically, we cast those things upon you and say thank you. Thank you for bearing our heavy load. Thank you for showing us how to carry this load and what to do with the load. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the answer, Lord God, that's going to be revealed to us on what we need to do next. Now give us strength that we would do all that you show us, Lord God, without fail. And we thank you for your love towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Until next time, God bless. I keep. Amen. Good night, all.